Your bulletins, in there is your member, guest, visitor, slip thingamajig. Changes names every week. I just try to be fresh, I guess, with it. Make sure to fill that out, stick it in a bulletin. Also, your life group questions and sermon notes area. Please take notes. Please study well. Don't always trust what I'm saying. You should trust what I'm saying, but, you know, it's your relationship with Jesus that matters. So, read, study, memorize. And these are great verses to memorize. You know, today we're on the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, we probably all have experiences with mourning. I have a couple different ones. Like, my father passed away. I talked to him in the morning, and everything was fine, went to work, had an aneurysm, was gone by that night. You know, and that's sad, but he was a Christian. So you mourn differently. You know what I mean? And I mean, he taught me a lot. We talked a lot. We talked every day, you know? But then when my mom passed away, she actually had a stroke and she lived another few years, but she wasn't my mom. So I kind of got to mourn for the time from her stroke until her passing, which was 3 or 4 years. And that was hard, even though she was a Christian too. But we all have experiences with mourning. Usually it comes with death. And it's hard sometimes to deal with that. But the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus is our comfort. Amen? Okay. The dictionary defines mourning as a sorrowing or lamenting. Especially during grief at someone's death. To mourn means to feel or express sorrow for something. Regrettable. Mourning is to feel sorrow over a loss of something. Sometimes it's as little things, like maybe this is probably, I'm understating this a little bit, and I apologize, where we lose a pet even, and we mourn over that, and we go through grief because they are our friends. Or when someone moves away, you know, we're really close to and we miss them. Or even relationships break. There's mourning that happens there. There's loss. Well, 2 weeks ago, we started in with the Beatitudes. We kind of have an introduction, and we talked about how the Beatitudes are going to be a series of how the Christian is going to have a blessed or maybe even a happy life. But it's blessed and happy because of Christ and us giving our life to Him, and certain characteristics are going to be displayed. Then last week, we talked about being poor in spirit. Realizing our poverty in our own spirituality means that we have no spirituality and we cannot save ourselves. So we come to that point in life where we become poor in spirit, and we reach out to the one who is rich in spirit, which is Jesus. And it says, blessed are those who poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. No, it's talking about the Christian life. You know, we all have come to a point in our life where we realize it's not all about us. We've taken ourselves, we put ourselves to the side, and then what? We allow Jesus to come in and fix things. That's the way the Christian life works, realizing and surrendering to Him who has it all figured out. You know, today, our main idea is when Jesus speaks of grief, He speaks of the grief that's caused by sin. You know, and after last week, and so many people came up to me and goes, I didn't realize poor in the spirit meant that. And they had a whole different idea. And that's all right. But when we speak of grief, we always don't necessarily speak of sin. And today we're going to talk a lot about sin. But when Jesus speaks of grief, He's speaking of that kind of grief. He is grieved by sin. He looks down at the world and He sees the sin that is caused. When He walked upon the world, the earth, man, He was grieved. It hurt Him. In fact, He had to get away at times and spend some time alone with Him and God, probably to get focused. You know, I don't know how many of you, after being out and about in our world, have to just go home and turn everything off and just kind of focus with God. You know, We need to have that kind of relationship with Jesus. But blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus spoke with an eye on the eternal. He was not focused on the things of this world. He realized that there's a bigger picture. A bigger picture. So this morning we're going to look at what mourning is. And we're going to look at what causes it. And we're just going to start there. So that's where we're going to start at. What causes mourning? Causes mourning is when my sermon notes stick together. That's all good. The cause of mourning really happened. You can trace this back to one event in history, and that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. When you have Adam and Eve there, and there was a sin that happened. And that sin unleashed the beast of sin into the world when that fruit was eaten. And the original grass was Adam and Eve. They walked and they lived and they were in community with God. And now it's all gone. One act of disobedience, eating of that fruit, all gone. We now live in a Genesis 3 world. I don't know if you've ever heard it that way. I heard it like that a few years ago, and that makes so much sense to me. Living in a Genesis 3 world, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, there is sin in this world. And wherever you stand on original sin, we all have sin in our life, right? Am I correct? What's the Bible say? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now there is a separation from the God who loves and the God that cares for you. It's a separation that was caused by disobedience. It's a separation that took our original intent and perverted it. Which isn't that what sin does? It takes the truth of God and it turns it just a little bit. Maybe another word is twist it just a little bit. And then it's all out of whack. I mean, a lot of cults do this. They take the Bible, they start there, and next thing you know, you got a whole nother book. And it's all based on one little truth in the Bible that was taken and twisted. Next thing you know, Jesus isn't God. Our original intent was not to be with Him. Our original intent was to be for ourselves. It's all about us and yada, yada, yada. The fact of the matter is, sin leads to hell. For the wages of sin is death. And yes, that can happen in the physical realm. I mean, sin can cause death. But it's also a spiritual death. And sometimes, church, we don't get serious enough about sin. We get serious about the effects of sin, but we don't get serious about the actual sin itself. And we don't call people on it or hold people accountable to it. Why? Because we can't talk to each other like that. How dare you talk to me about personal things? If you're a Beatitude Christian, you have relationships, especially within the church, where you can talk about serious things with people. You can go up to them and you can say, you know what? I know what you're doing. It's not right. And they come up to you and they can say, you know what? I'm struggling. Can you help me? I don't know if your guys' relationships look like that. Sometimes we kind of like to have this separation. You know, it was always funny in church, in Bible college. It was always, you got to keep a Bible link between each other, you know, when you're dating somebody. But even more than that, now we got to keep the Bible's distance between each of us so we don't get too close and find out each other's secrets. Ooh. You know, imagine if you take away all the privacy and all the secrecies and you just say, man, I just want to love you. You know, we don't hear that a lot. Sin does stuff to us. Sin separates us not only from God, but sin separates us from each other. I know that really grieved Jesus. It should really grieve us and cause us to mourn. Sin came into the world and it infected all of us. There is no one here that is innocent. We are all separated from God and from His fellowship. And mourning is the result of that loss of fellowship with God. When we lose that fellowship, We lose that purpose, and it just spirals down. But Jesus came into the world, and Jesus died for us. Why? To bring us back and to close that gap of separation. You know, we have to understand that. Number two this morning, there is blessedness in mourning. There's blessedness in mourning. So where is this blessedness? It's found in the work of Jesus Christ. But we have to understand that first, we need a Savior. And if we need a Savior, we have to ask the question, why do we need a Savior? Well, 1 John 5:17 says that all wrongdoing is sin. So I'd ask you the question, what is sin? Sin is all wrongdoing. Well, because of all wrongdoing and everything that we do wrong, we are separated from God. So if you can look in, if you look at the word sin, it's a small little word that has a big impact. And you can take that word and you can divide it into two things. You can divide it into two categories. Sin of commission, in which we do sin. We commit the sin. We do it, and usually if you're like me, you do it well. You know? So, for example, if you are a murderer, you would kill somebody. That's you acting out a sin. That is a sin of commission. Then you have the sin of omission. It's where a sin is done to us. So, for instance, you're the one that gets murdered. This is, the big one about this is, the person who is raped. You can see this idea of sin of omission. They didn't do anything wrong, but you can definitely see that mark of sin on their life. Because they're going to struggle with depression. They're going to struggle with self-image. They're going to suffer with God's original intent for sexuality. And it's all going to come into them, and it's going to be a problem with them, and they need to be forgiven of that. Just as a person who commits the sin needs to be forgiven. So you could say that we are stained by both aspects of sin because they both leave a mark. And it's a mark that could last for eternity if you don't have forgiveness. Most people don't know that they are lost, and they go through their entire life without realizing that they have this mark of sin on their life. They long for something, and they look for something, but they don't know what they're looking for. So they're trying to fix this mark, and they're trying to erase this mark in their life. But it doesn't work. I mean, it's been expressed like this, especially since I've been growing up. I've really heard this a lot. There's a God-shaped hole in our heart. That hole was put there by sin. There's only one thing that can fix it. God. He fills the vacancy caused by sin. But today I want us to look at it as the idea is he's the eraser of the stain of sin in our life. He's the bleach, if you will, that takes care of that stain. And he makes us white as snow. Maybe we concentrate real hard, we can focus on the good and forget about everything else. And you know what? That doesn't work. Maybe if I put enough money in the offering plate, which is a nice gesture to do, it's not going to save you. You can sign up for all the Bible studies. You can go to Bible college. You can preach. You can teach. You can spend years in Africa, South America, on mission work, proclaiming the gospel. And if your purpose for doing that is to wash away your sin, it's not going to do it. The only thing that can wash away your sin is the blood of Christ. The only thing that can fill that sorrow, that mourning, that void left by sin is the Lord. When we are called from God at that receiving of His message, do we come to realize? So when you hear a message preached or you read a passage of Scripture and the Lord calls to you and shows you how bad you really are, reveals your sin, and you've all been through that. You can nod your heads. That's okay. We're all sinners. We've all come to meet Jesus. Our lives have been transformed. And there's a response that happens, correct? Where we come to know Jesus. But the thing about the church is, a lot of Christians spend their life in those first few stages. And it's hard because they're in a cycle. I sin, I ask for forgiveness. I do the same sin, I ask for forgiveness. I do the same sin, I ask for forgiveness, which is probably a good thing. But we don't realize that when you ask for forgiveness, we don't have to dwell on that sin anymore. We realized it by the power of Jesus. We have overcome it, and that sin is gone. Kelly, you're saying that's easier said than done. In a lot of cases, it is. But you know what? Jesus said the words, "It is finished." He said that on the cross. So church, what I'm asking, maybe what I'm proclaiming to you today, is the idea that we give Jesus our sin and we move on with our life. And we don't keep getting down on ourselves, but we live a life of blessedness and we live a life of comfort because He is the one that comforts us. You've all been down that path where you tried to comfort yourself. You know, maybe it was in the bottle. Maybe it was in relationships. Maybe it was in your attitude. Maybe it was whatever. You tried to fix it yourself. So you shut everything out. That's church history. I can't take sin anymore, so I'm going to move out to the desert. I'm going to live in a tent by myself. I'm just going to read and pray and study. You know? Well, that'd be a great thing to do. You know? Heard the rent's really cheap out in the desert. The fact of the matter is we're meant to live in community with one another. And within that community, we're held accountable. We have relationships that point out our sin. And you know what? We walk together. We walk together. But it's Christ who can restore that relationship. Number three today, comfort in mourning. We will find comfort. We will find comfort as we mourn. But the interesting thing is, comfort finds us. You know, it's not like we wake up one day and we start looking for comfort. You know, it's when the Holy Spirit convicts you. Is when you start looking for that comfort, and the comfort finds you. Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. The word comfort is derived from the Greek word para, meaning near, and kalo, meaning I call. Jesus is saying, it is He who will call us, bring us near, and give us comfort. That's the word that He is using. And you know what? If you're taking any notes today, write these next two words down. Jesus satisfies. Jesus satisfies. He satisfies every need that we could have. He satisfies every relationship that we think that we need. He satisfies every painstaking ounce of sin that we deserve death for. He satisfies it. He satisfies it on the cross. He goes to the cross and He atones for our sin. He buys us out of slavery. He sets us free, but not only that, He takes away the sin. And we're truly free. You know, there's this word guilt, and guilt sometimes is a bigger stain than actual sin is, isn't it? Sometimes you can't forgive yourself, and you walk around depressed, you walk around upset. And years go by, and you're the only one that understands your guilt. You become bitter, become angry, and you separate yourself. That's all caused by sin. Jesus comforts that sin. He sets us free so we can live a happy, blessed life. Jesus says in John 16:20, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy." You know, the world thinks we're strange. They don't understand what we do. Why do you get up in the morning and go to church? Sunday morning, that's a good time to sleep in before the football game. You know, why do we do that? You know, why do you spend your time serving other people? Why do you go to life group? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you read your Bible at lunch instead of getting in on the gossip? They think we're strange. And you know what? The strangest thing about the whole thing is, it breaks our heart when they ask us that question. It breaks our heart because we know where they are spiritually. It breaks our heart. There's been times when I've met with people and I've talked with people and the answer to me is so clear. It's just so clear. They just don't get it. And I realize, I've been doing this about 20 years now, that people are going to do what they want until they tried everything else, and then they're going to allow Jesus to do it, to do his work. And sometimes I just want to say to them, you know what? Skip those steps. Come to know Jesus. And there's actually times in my life where I've left the counseling situation, or the person has left, and I've had to leave too and just go somewhere and weep. Because it breaks my heart. The world is going to try to do what the world wants to do, what the world thinks is correct. And Jesus says, just listen to me. Church, we have these answers. We have the answers. Why don't we use those answers to show people the right way? Because he says, you will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. You know what that tells me? That there's light at the end of the tunnel. That we may shed some tears. You know, it may be bad for a while, but Jesus will take care of it. He is faithful, he is true, and he is the one that satisfies. Jesus stands as a guarantee, as a comfort that God gives. God says, you'll be comforted. He sends Jesus to take care of it. Jesus has the answer. He is the answer. His blood, his death on the cross sealed the deal. You know, he has taken our sin away. He is our comfort. Church, you know, I had someone say to me recently that I say that a lot. I say that Jesus takes away our sin. You know what I wanted to say to that person? Well, then live like it. Then live like it. Live like Jesus has taken away your sin and walk in the salvation that Christ has given us. Grieve, knowing that at the end of that grieving, Christ will be our comfort. Walk in such a manner worthy of the calling that we've received. That calling from the pit of despair, from the pit of grief, from the pit of sorrow, into the hands of the one who will comfort. Church, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We are set free from that way of life. Now we live in a new way. As we look around the world, it's going to break our heart. Maybe right now you're kind of imagining some people in your life that you just want to go up to, and you get to a point where you just want to shake them and say, wake up. But you know what? We always can't do that. But we can pray. We can cry. We can grieve over those people, knowing that God's in control. You know, we can't save the world, but we know the one who can. You know, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what satisfies you in your mind. But I know the one who can satisfy every problem that you have. And I invite you to join in the mourning of us Christians as we mourn, because we know we will be comforted. We look at the world and we see the sin. And the sin bothers us. And the sin has changed us. But our hearts are still open. You know? That's why we get so excited when people become Christians. That's why we get so excited when we just imagine the angels in heaven rejoicing when someone comes to know him as Lord and Savior. But shouldn't we have that same excitement every day? Every time that we walk, every time that we proclaim the name of Jesus. I struggle just like you guys do. I'm not just want to throw my hands up in the air and say, what are we doing? You know, at the end of that, what are you doing cycle? Your attitude changes. Why? Because we're comforted. We're satisfied in knowing that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. One thing this week that really bothered me is I was listening to a pastor talk, and he was saying, this is kind of crazy, he was saying that we can't know for sure that we're saved. We can't know for sure that there's only one way to salvation. We can't know for sure 100% until we die. Thanks, Susan. That was my exact look too. And I was like, this guy is crazy. I mean, because the Bible says that Jesus is the way. Only by him that we come to have eternal life. And John says that these things are written so that we may know that we have salvation. And I just kind of turned off the radio and I was just like, this guy is crazy. I'm just like, then I started thinking about it as I was driving. And I started thinking about his church. And then I started getting mad. And then I started getting sad. I'm just like, I just want to call a guy to go over to his house and knock on his door and take care of him. You know, we go through this cycle where we get upset about things. We get sad about things. But the truth of the matter is we come in and we know that Jesus is going to take care of it. Jesus knows every situation. That's what it means to be sovereign. And that he's in control of every situation. And I think as a Christian, it makes my life a whole heck of a lot easier because I know that there's comfort in the morning. No, I know that when the darkness is gone, it's only about the light of Christ. And what's the psalm say? He turned our mourning into dancing. He turned our mourning into celebration. Because we understand the cross of Christ. Do you understand the cross of Christ? Has it made an impact on your life? Has it erased the sin? That's my question for you today. If you need to make a decision, I invite you to come forward. If you want to share a testimony, even if it's with me, I invite you to come forward. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that your sin can be washed away. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I ask you to turn our mourning into dancing. I ask you to give us comfort when we grieve. Help us to understand you more. Father, today I just say, break our hearts. Show us where we struggle at. And Father, give us the faith that we need to believe in you more, to understand you more, to love you more so we can love this world and the people in it more as you had loved us while we were still sinners. Thank you for sending Jesus. Father, continue to use us by showing us our purpose is to share you with the world. Father, you are an awesome God. Be with us today as we worship. Be with us today as we go around your table. Remember the blood and the body that was spilled and was pierced to wash away our sins. Father, you are our God. Today we worship you. Hear us as we sing. In your name I pray. Amen.